He's a great God, isn't he? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you want a title for whatever I'm going to say tonight, you can call it Hearing the Word Will Change Your Life. Amen. Have you ever realized how big a part hearing or listening plays in your life? When you don't listen, communication breaks down and mistakes are made, right? I mean, you've been told this, developing good listening skills helps you to be successful. You know, we need to pay great attention and careful attention to what God says. Some of us say, well, he's not saying that. Yeah, he is. He wrote a whole book. It's called the Bible. Okay? And Mark Twain said, wisdom is the reward you get for a lifetime of listening when you would rather be, when you would have rather talked. You know, listening is a skill that we need in the natural, but we also need this in our spiritual life. You know, God communicates with us through his word. We must continually, let me put it that way, look into the word. We must be a willing hearer of God's word if we're going to be successful in our Christian walk. Let's look at several verses of scripture, starting out in Proverbs 1, 5. I'm going to read from the New King James and also that same verse from the New Living Translation. And we're going to walk through Proverbs here. Proverbs 1, 5. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. The NLT says, let the wise listen to these proverbs and become even wiser. Let those who understand receive guidance. Now flip over to Proverbs 4:10. Proverbs 4:10. Hear, my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of your life will be many. The NLT says, my child, listen to me. Do as I say, and you will have a long, good life. Now go to Proverbs 5:7. Proverbs 5:7. Therefore, hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. And NLT says, so now, my sons, listen to me. Never stray from what I'm about to say. Then look in Proverbs 8:33. Proverbs 8:33. Some people are finding it in the hard copy Bible. Some are finding it on their phone. Some of you on an iPad. That's all right. I got it here. All written down on this notes. I got it here. And I got it here. And I've got it here. I've got a whole bunch of different translations here, whereas on here, I just got the one translation. All right, Proverbs, where were we? 8:33. Good, y'all are listening. Just been making sure. Hear instruction and be wise. Do not disdain it. The NLT, the reason I'm reading from the NLT, because it reads a little more like we talk today. Listen to my instructions. Be wise. Don't ignore it. And then jump to Proverbs 22:17. Proverbs 22:17. I'll give you a little more time because you got to turn a bunch of pages. Proverbs 22:17. Incline your ear and hear the words of the wise. Apply your heart to my knowledge. The New Living Translation says, listen to the words the words of the wise. Apply your heart to my instruction. Now look at Proverbs 23, next chapter, 19. Proverbs 23, 19. Hear, my son, and be wise, and guide your heart in the way. The New Living says, my child, listen and be wise. Keep your heart on the right course. I think all of these verses are, they're talking about listening or hearing. That would be the same thing, hearing or listening. I think it's these verses show the importance of listening to what the Word of God has to say. You know, I think these verses reveal the real value of listening to what the Word says. You know, we need to be ever ready to listen to what the Word says and apply it, or do it, what somebody might say. Now look at James 1:19. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, fast to speak, and fast to wrath. Is that not what it says? It don't say that? Let me read it again. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. You know, be quick to hear, and then keep your mouth shut. That's what it's saying here. That's my good old Texas lingo. The Amplified says this, of this verse. Understand this, my beloved brethren. Let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get anger. This verse shows us that we need to be ready to hear and not speak. You know, have you ever been with somebody that, if you're talking, telling something, they're waiting for you to shut up so that they can talk? They're not even listening to what you're saying. Come on. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You know, what I'm saying to you tonight, if you'll keep hearing the Word of God, hearing what the Word has to say, it'll change your life. Now, I want to look at some key things that I think that will help you to have successful life, Christian life. Hearing the Word of God increases your faith. We all know what Romans 10:17, or most of us do any of that way. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word, right? By the Word of God. If you're going to make progress in your Christian life, you got to have faith. Because it says in another place of Paul's writings, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Yeah. How many of you want to please God? Amen. Then you got to have faith. You know, some of you may have known my dad, and some of you may have known him from the platform, preaching, speaking, conferences and places. Some of you may have known him from tapes and then CDs. But he was a man of few words. Now, many people don't believe that because he would get on the platform and he was a very prolific speaker. But when he was with a group of people, he listened more than he talked, even when he knew more about what they were talking about than most of the people in the group. I've driven him in a car driving with him for 2 hours. He never said a word. And you better ask him a question that he can't answer with yes or no, or that's all you're going to get. I would take him to do, you know, interview on talk television, you know, and I would tell him, I say, now listen, you better ask him questions that he can't answer with yes or no, or you're not going to get nothing out of him. That was him. See, he learned the value of listening more than talking. He listened to the Word of God. He listened to what other ministers that were older than him back when he was younger had to say. And he became very successful and even came out ahead of many of his peers. I want you to take this thought home with you tonight. This is what I want you to take this home with you. If you keep hearing the Word of God, it will change your life. Listening, hearing is the same thing. Listening. You know, it's a fact that some people have a hard time listening. They would rather talk. And then there's some people that never say anything. Actually, you need to get a balance between listening and talking. Hello? You know, have you ever talked to someone, and as you were talking to them, it was apparent that they weren't really listening to what you were saying? Hello? Amen. And later, you were giving them instructions about something, and later, they didn't know what to do because they didn't listen. They were there, but they didn't hear. Too many people are praying for faith and wishing they have faith, but that's not the way faith comes. God gave the instructions the way to get faith. Hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Isn't that so? Any of you ever hear my dad minister, preach? Yeah, the most of you have. You know, he was known as the modern day father of the faith message. He hated that title. He said, I'm not the father of nothing except you. He said, all I'm doing is telling them what the Bible says. That's what the Bible says. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, I wish I could have faith like Brother Hagin. You know, well, they didn't realize what he did to get that kind of faith. I know that he said, he used to say, I've read the New Testament through over 150 times. Some of you may have heard him say that. And the Lord told him he was getting prideful, so he quit counting. I don't know how many times he read the New Testament. He read the Bible through, I don't know how many times, 100 times or more, I'm sure. But you see, most people, that's how he got strong faith. Most people are not willing to do what it takes to get strong faith. They want to read one little scripture in the morning time and run out, and that's it. That's all they read. Then there's some people, they want to have strong faith, and they only go listen to the Word of God being preached one time a week. What would happen to your physical body if you only fed it one time a week? You wouldn't be there very long. No, we wouldn't have no weight problem, that's for sure. That's what somebody said over there, my wife, I think. But yet, many people try to live their Christian life and have faith in God, and they get one cold snack every Sunday morning. You know, I tried to really give people something they can get a hold of, that's something they can take home with them from the Word of God. Now, I've always been a good communicator. I started in grade school. I guess the reason I went to the platform when I was 19, I've told y'all before, when I was 19 months old, because my sister was born and dad pastored in those churches, those country churches and different churches, and they didn't have no nurseries or nothing back in that day, back in 1939 when I was born, and 41 when my sister was born. And I went to the platform at 19 months old. Dad set me on the platform. And I never went left. I sat on the platform until I was 6 years old. Then I decided I was going to go down and sit with my friends. And I went back and sat on the platform because we all got in trouble. But I swear my dad had eyes in the back of his head. He could be preaching like this. And I'd start to move around and he'd just do this and keep preaching. Never even stop. I don't know how he knew I was moving around, but he did. See, strong faith comes from listening and hearing the Word of God. Reading it yourself, listening to somebody that ministers the Word of God, not some just some little old story or some little old sermon. You know, I don't want to be mean, but there's some people that are preaching sermons that they're great, they're motivational, but they're not really what the Word of God. They're not really the Word of God. I try to build the Word in and some motivation too. Okay? You see, in Acts 14, 8 through 10, we read about a man in Lystra. He was without strength in his feet, a cripple from his mother's womb, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speak. Paul, observing him intently, seeing that he had faith to be healed, said in a loud voice, "Stand up on your feet." And he leaped and walked. Now, where did he get the faith to be healed? Hearing, Paul said the same, heard Paul speak. He heard Paul speaking the Word of God. See, it was after he heard Paul preach that he had faith to be healed. You see, the truth is the same today. If you want to receive the benefits of God, you've got to hear His Word. After we hear the Word, then our faith will be increased and we can receive. Now, you know, we need to take time to repeatedly hear the Word of God on whatever area it is that we need it. If you need healing, you don't need to concentrate on scriptures that is talking about the Lord blessing you and prospering you, right? If you need financial stuff, you need to read scriptures about financial stuff. Don't read scriptures about how great it's going to be when we get to heaven. Come on now. You know, heaven's going to be great, but I want to tell you what, I'm not in heaven. I'm living right here, right now. Now, I believe we can have a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in. Amen. That's an old statement. But how do you get a little bit of heaven to go to heaven in? Hearing what God said, reading the Word, hearing the Word. Come on now. You know, as we begin to look at this, I'm going to say it again. If you hear the Word, it will change your life. Say it with me. If I hear the Word, it will change my life. Now, hearing the Word, it enables you to do what the Bible says. Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock, and then the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall. It was founded on the rock. Now, the NLT says it like this: anyone who listens to my teachings and follows it, is wise, like a person who builds a house on solid rock. Though the rains come in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the wind beats against the house, it will not collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it is foolish, like a person who builds a house on sand. And when the rains and floods come, the winds beat against the house, it collapses with a mighty crash. Now, I don't know about over here in Oklahoma, but if you go over to Tulsa, where Raymond Campus and the Bible College is, I built a bunch of buildings on that 110 acres. And the man that we use most of the time to build in our foundations, Mr. Harrison, when we built the big church auditorium, some of you have been there, we had to drill, I forget how many hundred piers is underneath that building. There's four of them that are 6 feet in diameter and 50-something feet deep, full of concrete and rebar, holding up stuff. But some of those engineers said, oh, we did the soil testing and the blue shell, I think they said, oh, it will hold. Mr. Harrison, he said, let me tell you something. I've been drilling in this Oklahoma, up here in this Oklahoma soil there in Tulsa area, in that area, for 35 years. He said, if you want the building to be solid, you got to go down to the brown shale where it's really solid. Now, it was tough drilling through some of that to get down to that. But they say that you could drive a semi-truck into one side. Of course, that auditorium is a 400-foot square. So it's a big auditorium, a big building. But they say you could drive a semi into one side of it, and you wouldn't even know it on the other side of the building. But you see, we put the foundation in it that needs to be put. Across the street is the apartments that I got out of receivership for the, it's got 99 apartments over there that the students rent. We've had to jack up, I don't know how many of them, jack the floors up and so forth because they didn't get the right. And in fact, there's a whole neighborhood there of houses behind them that has all kinds of foundational problems because of the soil that's there, and they didn't anchor it properly. Where our main church building is built, if any of you went over there when we were building it, they had a pile of dirt out there they called Hagen's Mountain. Because for that 400 square, they took out 3 feet of topsoil. And then they brought in the other kind of soil and lime and I don't know what all, and they had run that sheet foot over and so forth. When that was finished, you could walk on there and bounce a basketball like he's bouncing on concrete. But that building's been there since 92, and there's not any cracks in it anywhere that I know of, because it's built on a proper foundation. Do you know that's what happens to a lot of people? They do not hear the word of God. He said here, anyone who listens to my teachings and follows them, it's like a person who builds his house on a solid rock. Many Christians are weak and sickly because they're Christians, all right. They're born again, but they've never got into the word of God and built a house, a spiritual house I'm talking about, on a firm foundation. Y'all here, y'all gone home already. Hearing the word is necessary to be able to do whatever God has said for you to do. You know, doing what you heard is necessary to be successful. When I was going to Bible college, Southwestern Assembly of God University, and it's called now, back then it's called Southwestern Bible College. And, you know, I worked at Plastics Manufacturing Company, the midnight shift for a while. And I ran a bowl machine. And they taught me, you know, I had a deal that was what I'm talking about, 1960, I think. 60, yeah. I had a deal that was like a microwave, and I had these little pellets of plastic, but they were hard, and I would heat them in there, and then I would put 6 up here and 6 down here, and that mold would come together. It was 1,350 degrees Fahrenheit in that mold, and it'd come down and depress that plastic out, and it would make a bowl. But you know what? They showed me everything to do, and I wore gloves like this up to here because of, 1,350 degrees Fahrenheit is hot, okay? And to show us the amount of pressure that thing had, they had cut a tube before, and they put it here and here and hit the button, and it just came down, and it just crushed that tube before into pulp. But you know what? We had guys that didn't listen to what they said and didn't listen to what they was doing. And one guy almost lost his arm because he heard the instructions, but he didn't really hear them. And then he didn't follow them and he got himself in trouble. Now, I guess today's a different day, but I can tell you what, he wasn't there the next day. In fact, I had a quota I had to make every night of those bowls. If I didn't make my quota the next night when I checked in my time card, it had a little note on it that said, if you don't make your quota tonight, don't bother coming back. Just come and pick up your check. That's the way the world used to be. Now, I don't know. I better not get into that. But it's listening properly and hearing properly so you can do the right thing. Now, I spent 3 years in Uncle Sam's Army. Glenn here was in the Marines. Any of you other guys in the Army or Air Force? Hey, we had guys get in trouble all the time. But they got in trouble because they didn't listen to what the sergeant or the lieutenant said. And they messed up. Do you have any guys like that? Y'all have any guys like that in your group? Yeah. The problem is that if you have a mess up, we had a mess up in the 2nd Platoon. And he caused all of us problem. Well, he had a blanket party. And he learned not to do that. For y'all don't know what a blanket party is. You throw a blanket over him and then you they hit him with everything you can hit him with. And then the lieutenant tells you, hey, I know he's messing up, so make sure he can't tell. And so he'd say, hey, they beat me up. He said, who beat you up? Well, I don't know. I couldn't see. I had a blanket. Well, what do you mean accusing your barrack mates of beating you up? You didn't see them doing. I mean, that was the lieutenant. But I tell you one thing, he quit messing up. He learned the hard way. That's the way, I'm getting to a point here. That's the way a lot of Christians do. Instead of listening to the Word of God, they don't listen to what the Word says. The enemy then comes in and beats the fire out of them. And then they start running back to God, start praying, and he bails them out. Did you ever notice that that's what Israel did? Read the Old Testament. Israel be going along, they're good. Then they mess up. Oh, God, help us. He bring them out again. Paul said that what happened to Israel happens as examples for us. What was good for them to do, what they shouldn't do. And hearing the word helps us to do what is necessary to have success. James 1:25. Before I do that, have you ever given instructions to somebody on how to do something, build something, or do something, and they take off, start doing it before you finish the instructions, and they mess everything up, and you got to go start it all over again? Anybody ever done that? Yeah. I think sometimes that's the way some people do with God. James 1:25. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is a forgetful hearer is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This one will be blessed in what he does. NLT. But if you look into the carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. See, first you hear the word. Secondly, you do the word. Right? If you keep hearing the word, what will it do? There you go. You got it.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hearing the word also enables you to have the promises of God that he promised us in the word. Mark 4:24. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. The same manner that you use, it will be measured to you. To you who hear, more will be given. That's Mark 4:24. Now the NLT says it this way. Pay close attention to what you hear. The closer you listen, the more understanding you will be given, and you will receive even more. Here he's telling you to pay close attention. Take heed to what you hear. And if you hear and listen, and more you given be given understanding, and more you'll receive more. Look at Luke 8:18. Therefore take heed how you hear, for whoever has to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have will be taken away. Now that's reading NLT. So pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to my teachings, more understanding will be given. But those who are not listening, even what they think they understand will be taken away from them. Whoa, that's a tough statement. Hello. These verses talk about to be careful to what and how you hear the word of God. You see, if you don't hear right, you don't do right. If you hear right, then you do the things that God said to do, and the promises become yours. You know, hearing and doing the word on a continual basis will change your life. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I want us, this is the first part of 2019. Stir yourself up to hear more of the word of God this year. And then when December comes, 2019 comes, you will be able to look back on your life and see that you have overcome and been blessed more than you ever have.
Amen.
Why? Because you heard the word and it changed your life.
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, I've talked a few minutes to these people tonight about hearing the word, doing the word. And because they hear the word of God and do what the word of God says, then they can have the blessings of God. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. With your heads bowed for just a moment, if there happens to be anybody in here that doesn't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to find Jesus. Or if you need to rededicate your life, I want to give you an opportunity to rededicate your life. Anybody? Praise the Lord. Anybody want prayer for healing tonight? Praise God. Everybody stand then, please. Ernie Garcia, we all know Ernie. He's usually here. He has, I don't know, this carotid artery is almost completely blocked on one side of his neck. I don't know which one. And he goes in the morning for surgery. If you don't know it, that's a serious surgery right there, because that's one of the main arteries that's taking blood flow to your brain and so forth and so on. So let's pray for him right now. Heavenly Father, I thank you as Ernie goes in for surgery. I thank you that we will agree with him that this surgery will be successful. There will be no complications, and that he will recover quickly in Jesus' name. I thank you for it. Amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Yeah, I had 49% blockage here, and I didn't have to have surgery, but I took some medicine, and with medicine and prayer, it unblocked. And praise the Lord, now I did an arteriogram mole about 5 years ago, and everything's clear, praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I know several of my people that have had that surgery, and you see, somebody said, well, you pray for healing. Well, now, wait a minute. My dad taught this. He said, join your faith with the person where their faith is. All right? There we're joining faith with him because his faith is there for that operation. We believe in God. All right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Praise the Lord. Well, next Sunday night, 6 o'clock, we'll be right here again. Come believing, come receiving.